Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red, like crimson, they shall be as wool. Though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow.
Reading from God's Holy Word, as we find it in Paul's letter to the church at Rome, chapter 10. Here we see Paul's mind, as well as God's Word to the church at Rome and to us. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they then call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So far we read God's holy word to this church at Rome and to us as well. Certainly we ought to see it as an example. Paul writing to a Gentile church, showing his heart's desire, as we read here in the first verse, and his heart as well in the first part of the ninth chapter, that it ought to be a lesson to us in the Gentile world, that as he prayed for them, though he had a different relationship to them than we do, but at the same time, we need the same mind toward them as Paul had, both for the present and also for the future, that God has promises that has not yet been fulfilled on that people. Pray, first of all, that we'll have an understanding of it, because the church is much divided on what God has promised and who they are in the present time, some not even recognizing them, and others thinking of it in different ways. And we need to be one in this, and then one in prayer for this through Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in his name for the new and living way, that thou dost not have to deal with us only by thy holy law, and deal with us only as Creator, but that thou canst teach us by thy law who thou art, the holy God, that we can have a new and living way in Christ, who himself kept the law and glorified thy name in all that he did. And thou didst also in turn glorify him and state even from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And we pray that thou would give us ears to hear his message as it comes through Paul here today. Give us, we pray, thy Spirit to listen and to understand and to be hearers and doers of the word. We pray for that more and more in the church, that it might be revived in every needed way, that it may not be left lukewarm, that it may not be left as these people here, having a zeal of thee, but not according to knowledge. And also we pray that we may not have a knowledge, as Paul writes of it to the Corinthians, that puffs up, that we only have a knowledge to be proud, thinking we are right, but not a knowledge to be humble, knowing how wrong we are. First of all, the lost, entirely wrong in all things, and sadly, we fear the church today, so wrong and lacking, so much as salt that have lost its savor, that we are not a salt in this nation. We are not a salt to the homes and the broken homes, and we pray for them, and we pray especially for the children of the broken homes. We pray also for the sick, the injured, the homeless, the hungry, the war-torn lands, the persecuted, all these calamities that are there. We pray for those, the elderly, the lonesome, and all of that. We pray that thou would make Christ a living Savior to each one. First of all, to know the need, and then that need being fulfilled in him, in whose name we give thanks and pray. Amen. As we continue in this word, the latter part of this letter to the church at Rome, Paul is speaking of his brethren, his kinsmen according to the flesh. The church at Rome, very likely, was made up of mostly Gentiles, but we certainly know there were Jews among them, as we can read in the second chapter, verse 17, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which sit in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth of the law. There Paul is describing them, giving a description of what he says further here in this 10th chapter, the 3rd verse. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They thought they were instructing the foolish. And as Paul said further to them, thou that teachest another, teachest not thou thyself. That was much the way it was. Sadly, when we think of them as a whole, in the time that Christ was here on earth, he described them as lading men with burdens too heavy to be borne, but not to touch them with one of their fingers. He also described them as washing the outside of the cup. They sit in Moses' seat, and they were to hear what they said, but not to do after their works. Christ rightly called them scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. They were thinking they had very much right in their own ways, but they only had it on the outside, only in the letter of the law and not the spirit of the law. Christ described them as tithing minor things, but did not keep the weightier matters of the law of judgment and mercy. They did not have what the gospel gives. First of all, in forgiveness and justification, and then as well in sanctification. Sanctification in being conformed to the image of Christ, and also justification, being made just or pardoned, forgiven. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Here we see sanctification, or being conformed to the image of Christ, stated first, and the justification afterwards. Really, justification comes first. It's true that in repentance, to seek the Lord, there will be some turning from sin, but the main issue in repentance is not getting better, but knowing ourselves worse, knowing how bad we are, as we read in the 3rd chapter, that every mouth might be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. That's the repentance needed for justification. We cannot say, now I do this better, or now I do that right, and then I deserve to be justified. We find that we are not right at all in anything, not even when we do repent and stop doing some sinful ways, probably thinking we're doing some better, but we still always, particularly without Christ, come short of the glory of God. That's all. Just guilty, guilty, guilty. Acknowledging it, and then one hope, a pardon from God because of Christ. And that's what Paul is talking about here, that they are ignorant of that. They being ignorant of God's righteousness, that righteousness in Christ. Christ who paid the price on the cross. Christ who paid the price being made a curse for us. Christ who paid the price in shedding his own perfect blood on that cross, as well as probably before time when he was beaten and when they put a crown of thorns on his head to the very end of his hanging on the cross, put the spear in his side, and out came blood and water. That's our Savior, God's Son, the Creator of the world, suffering so awful, crying out on that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know the answer? The answer is you and me, because of what we did, because of what who we are, God forsook Christ on the cross. We must see that and then go to it, as it were, by faith, eating of that body, there for me, drinking of that blood, there for me. And as Christ said, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. His death gives us life, and especially his resurrection. And then, when we do believe it, after repenting, being humbled to the fact that we're lost, then believe and be baptized, picturing dying with Christ, picturing rising again, coming up out of the water to newness of life. Twice God says in his word, buried with him by baptism. Yes, it's a picture, as Paul said of himself in Romans 7, and I died. No hope in self, none. And the rest of his people here did not know that for the most part. Again, reading those words from the third verse, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. Here is the lack of justification and the way of justification. That which Luther brought to the forefront and was very afraid people would not believe it by thinking in a wrong way of doing any good works, so much that he hardly wanted to emphasize it enough, and how he spoke against even the teaching of James, thinking that set forth too much the way of works without enough of justification. James doesn't put down justification. He just proves justification by faith, by works that accompany it and follow it. They're not there to earn justification. They are there to prove that we've been taught of God, prove that we have Christ's nature now, the risen Christ. Paul does much the same thing in the sixth chapter. For sin shall not have dominion over you. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. So he gives much the same teaching as James does in the sixth chapter, as well other places through this epistle. Here, the emphasis is on the righteousness by faith. We go back to verse 31 of chapter 9. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Why do we stumble? Because we're proud. We're offended when Christ tells us as a prophet what sinners we are. And God does that through all of his word. We don't want to be told. We need someone else to save us. Someone else to have his righteousness alone. Listen again to the 33rd verse. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Though we do not want to believe it, Christ says the Spirit comes, he will convict of sin and righteousness and judgment, of sin because they believe not on me. The Spirit will show that to us through the word, applying the word that we would never apply if left to ourselves. We would believe it for others, but not for ourselves. We are dead in sin. We are at enmity against God. We are those that hate the light. And that's why Christ said the Spirit will convict of sin because they believe not on me. Yes, people will say, oh, I believe on Christ. I believe he went to the cross. I believe he died for sinners. But do we believe his teaching as a prophet? Many, I fear, believe John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe that? Many do. Do you believe that you are, without that, the perishing sinner? Just as much as anyone else? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul asked the question here in the early part of this epistle, are we better than they? He answers it, in no wise we have together become unprofitable. I and my neighbor, I and those of a different color, I and those of a different nationality. And sadly, I don't like to say it, but husbands and wives, husbands that don't think their wife is one that they want to live with any longer, and wives that don't think their husband is one that they want to live with any longer, and they go to court and separate. Terrible, terrible. When we come together, God says we are husband and wife, become one flesh. I lost my dear wife 4 years ago, almost 4 years. Half of my flesh is gone. And then people don't care. They live in pride. They live in hatred.
one of the worst things in our country because it affects so many homes, so many young children. One hope for the children in those broken homes. I just read it. I don't know if I mentioned it last week or not, but I did. I'll mention it again. We talk about the mental health of the young people. It's a big problem. Over and over, we read of it. The law enforcement people talk about it. Representatives and senators have to vote for more money for the schools to handle it. Reading about a young boy, his parents were divorced in a broken home. He was bitter. Bitter against his friends, even. Bitter against everybody because of that situation, the broken home. He was there. It affected him that way. And then he heard the gospel and believed it. He said, that gospel of Christ can pardon my sin and change me. It gave him hope. The problem is, for many, the broken home. The answer is for all Christ. Those troubled children and you and me, everybody, Jew and Gentile, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I'm ashamed of not believing him better, not believing him right. Both in justification, so slow to come to it, and sanctification, so weak in it. But he is faithful. He is there. As we sang, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. How can it be? The Old Testament psalmist describes us, we have together become filthy. Yes, even a stronger word than sins as scarlet. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins be as scarlet. We need to make it known. That's calling sinners to repentance. Have you known your sins as scarlet? Bright in the sight of God. Awful. Worthy of death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is Jesus Christ. Going back to chapter 6. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is the eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have earned death, and God has given a gift to those worthy of death, worthy of hell, fire. I am, still am. One difference, only one. If Christ died for my sin, I'm safe. If he didn't, I'm a goner. That's the only difference. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Without him, we can do nothing, right? And we can have nothing of the love of God. Paul describes the Ephesians as before they were one in his body. They were children of wrath, even as others. And then he went on, but God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love, where he loved us, hath quickened us together with Christ and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. The beginning of heaven here on earth. Without it, we have the beginning of hell, the ways of Satan. And then when we die, it will be that way eternally, either heaven or hell. If we have heaven, we know that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And we must know the law correctly, to know God's holiness, to know God's righteousness, to know God's command for us. We read in the 10th chapter of Romans, for Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law. The man that doeth those things shall live by them. He's quoting Moses from Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5, verses 4 and 5. You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. But as we saw last week, they're not being done, not even in the sacrifices. They, instead of seeing Christ in the sacrifice, would come, as it were, with their good works.
they being ignorant of God's righteousness and trying to establish their own in all things, in the moral law and in the ceremonial law, both ways. The moral law, the Ten Commandments, the ceremonial law, all the ways in which they were to worship God and all the sacrifices and all the timing of it, all the different ordinances and days in which they were to keep. They could do it in a right way of seeing Christ as one that would come, as Moses, and particularly Abraham. As Christ said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. Christ also said, if you believe Moses, you would believe in me, for he spake of me. And we know he did. They had no excuse. The sixth verse of chapter 10, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And that is the word of faith which we preach. And then the message, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Yes, Christ is not far off. We don't have to bring him from above. Say not in the heart, who shall ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down. He came down, became a man, humbled himself to the death of the cross, and gives us in that way what we call the gospel. Christ dying for our sins according to the scriptures. Christ being buried, Christ rising again according to the scriptures. All by the scriptures. Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'd be very surprised if any of you that hear my voice today don't have the word. Yes, there may be some in some foreign lands that don't have the word. Some, I hear, have one Bible in the church. I feel sorry for those that don't have the word because it's a blessed word. Here we read, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Thankfully, now we can have it by this means, by radio, reaching into many homes and many ears that would otherwise not know it. Christ has commanded that the gospel is to be preached to every creature. It can reach into many homes where, in the country, it is forbidden, where those who preach physically are put in prison or denied, are persecuted terribly. But for many, and especially those people that Paul was talking about, his brethren, they were the ones that were blessed. As we could read in the third chapter, what advantage then hath the Jew? What profit is there in circumcision? Much every way to them is given the oracles of God. And you and I have the word. How thankful we can be. Do we heed the word? Are we hearers and doers of it?
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord.